And for the first time, the black athlete in a major college sports, which is football and basketball, have an opportunity to literally redistribute wealth on behalf of themselves and their families for the first time in history. And now you come to them because of an issue you didn't handle. Where the hell y'all been? Where you been at? What's up, everybody? Good evening. Welcome to the latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A., coming at you as I love to do every Wednesday. Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. Number to call up, as always, is 866-967-6887. That's 866-96-POTUS. I'm not happy this evening. It's becoming a routine thing for me to be on the airwaves and pissed off at things that I'm seeing. But contrary to popular belief, as disgusted as I am at the president and some of the things that he's doing, particularly as it pertains to his latest salvo and his retribution tour, as much as I'm disgusted at this issue of redistricting, as disgusted as you'll hear me be when I'm talking about this $1.8 billion slush fund, also known as the anti-weaponization fund, that's not where my ire is going to be directed at for this these opening few minutes. My disgust and my ire is aimed in the direction of some politicians on Capitol Hill on the Democratic side, and specifically the NAACP. That's right, I said it. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like what I'm reading. I don't like what's being inferred and implied. And somebody's got to speak up for it, so damn it, I'm going to. You know, we can talk about Trump and his retribution tour and how in the aftermath of the ousting of GOP Representative Thomas Massey out of Kentucky and Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, his bid for the Georgia gubernatorial seat, both were stymied by Trump. Capping off a month-long revenge campaign that saw the president now force out most of the Indiana state lawmakers who opposed his redistricting efforts, saw him unseat Louisiana GOP Senator Bill Cassidy, and now this stuff. When you tie in that with the slush fund of $1.8 billion, where the president is going to have the opportunity, okay, to really, really, really pad his own pockets while simultaneously potentially making sure that recipients from that $1.8 billion actually include Trump allies and January 6th defendants. Don't throw up when I say it, but it's true. As disgusting as that may be, the focus of this particular discussion needs to go in the direction of the NAACP. And I'm going to tell you why. A new campaign was launched by the NAACP calling for a boycott of some of college sports' most prominent athletic programs in response to a national redistricting fight that represents, quote, a sprint to erase black political power, the organization's president and CEO, Derek Johnson, said in a statement. On April 29th, the U.S. Supreme Court, in case you forgot, ruled in Louisiana versus Calais that Louisiana's recently drawn congressional map marked an unconstitutional gerrymander along racial lines by creating a majority black district. Back then, there was a quote from the Legal Defense Fund, which said the decision was a devastating blow to critical civil rights protections by permitting states to use partisan gerrymandering as a wholesale excuse to deny black voters a voice in their government. The NAACP's campaign, called Out of Bounds, by the way, takes aim at eight specific states: Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. It doesn't stop there. It specifies 13 programs specifically that generate at least $100 million annually, quote, from national television deals, alumni donations, merchandise sales, and ticket sales, the association said. They even have the schools here. The University of Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, Florida State, LSU, Mississippi, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Clemson, Tennessee, Texas, and Texas A&M. I understand. I truly do. I understand how this situation involving gerrymandering can be. I know there's two common techniques when it comes to gerrymandering. There's packing, concentrating the opposing party's voters into a small number of districts so they win only a few seats by huge margins, or cracking, splitting opposing voters across many districts so they don't form a majority anywhere. I understand that opponents to this redistricting can use that as an argument and can highlight the concerns. We had Cleo Fields, representative out of Louisiana, on this very show, who made very, very compelling arguments in talking about how the black vote, by virtue of eliminating or dissipating black elected officials from ultimately coming to, you know, from being in position to be elected, those aspiring to be black elected officials, how that stymies that progress. I get it, and I understand it. My question is, why are you coming to these athletes? For the first time in history, we've got name, image, likeness. You just finished saying that these institutions generate in excess of $100 million annually via national television deals and the like. You're just finished saying that. That's what you said. National television deals, alumni donations, merchandise sales, ticket sales. And for the first time, the black athlete, which makes up anywhere from 60 to 70% of the participants in a major college sports, which is football and basketball, have an opportunity to literally redistribute wealth on behalf of themselves and their families for the first time in history. And now you come to them because of an issue you didn't handle. Where the hell y'all been? Where you been at? I understand that there are things that are more important than money. Why be rich if you're a slave? Why have money if you can't really do what you want with it? Why consider yourself rich or wealthy if you're imprisoned? I get those arguments, although some would argue that's an engagement in hyperbole as opposed to being a real, real issue. How do we know this? Because redistricting and gerrymandering has been going on with both parties for years. You want to blame Trump? Fine. Wasn't Biden just in office? You want to blame Biden? Fine. Wasn't Trump in office before him? You want to blame Trump? Wasn't Obama in office for 8 years before him? Didn't the Holder versus Shelby County case from around 2012, 2013 come into play? Didn't that have a profound impact on our society? Sure it did, but that was a Democrat in a position of power. Where were the representatives supporting Barack Obama to make sure Holder won that case? We've turned around. This is not one party dominion over here. Nixon was in office and then it was Ford. Ford was in office and then it was Carter. Carter was in office and then it was Reagan. Reagan was in office and then it was HW. That's 12 years of Republican leadership. Then Clinton was in office for 8 years. Then W was in office for 8 years. Then Obama was in office for 8 years. And then Trump was in office for four, Biden in four, Trump back in office. Last time I checked, that's both sides of the aisle. All of you all of you engaged in redistricting. All of you engaged in gerrymandering. But now that the Republicans seem to have adroitly gone about the business of gaining an edge, swearing up and down, it's not about race, it's about partisanship, And that's why these maneuvers have been made to benefit them. And y'all want to argue against that? Fine. Fine. But to come to the athlete who for the first time in history is getting paid by the NCAA and to ask that athlete to make a sacrifice and to potentially go to another university that might not have the money to pay what Alabama and Georgia and Auburn and Florida State and Mississippi and Mississippi State and Texas A&M and South Carolina and Clemson and Tennessee, what they can pay, and to ask them 18, 19, 20-year-olds to forego those prestigious universities with the major, major contracts on television that gives them a national profile upon which they could showcase their skill set, not only while they're getting paid by the NCAA, but positioning them for future generational wealth because of the notoriety that they will get from being at one of those universities. You're asking them to make that sacrifice because y'all didn't do y'all jobs. Y'all were supposed to do all of this so these athletes wouldn't be in a position to have to do that. Not just for themselves, but for their families. You really, really want to do something? How about talking to them about and collaborating with whomever you can to make sure that this SCORES Act doesn't become a law of the land? You do know what that is, right? That's the Student Compensation and Opportunity Through Rights and Endorsements Act. That is not law yet. It's a major attempt by Congress to create national rules for college sports, especially around NIL, which is name, image, and likeness. Payments to student athletes. Senator Cory Booker is intimately involved in that. Senator Ted Cruz is intimately involved in that. One's a Democrat, one's a Republican. Both are heavily involved. Why? Because the bill is mainly aimed at regulating the chaotic modern NIL era that emerged after courts weakened the NCAA's ability to restrict athletic compensation. Reading from my notes here, the proposal would allow college athletes to continue making money from NIL deals, but create one national standard instead of 50 different state laws, gives the NCAA more authority to regulate transfers, eligibility, and recruiting. I am all for minimizing the chaos. But we're forgetting where the chaos initiated from. The greed on the part of the NCAA and the institutions under its umbrella that spent decades exploiting the student athlete, making billions, and told them to be satisfied with a scholarship. These brothers were condemned and attached with ineligibility status if they got a jacket from a bookstore on campus with their name on it. God forbid they got a trip home to go see their mamas and daddies for the holidays. That was a violation. You exploited them at every turn. Every turn. You used them. You abused them. You exploited them. And you threw them away like trash when it was at your convenience. But now here you are on Capitol Hill begging them for their assistance at the expense of the student athlete. And it's now when redistricting becomes an issue, when gerrymandering becomes an issue, when you're at a disadvantage because you were outmaneuvered by folks on the right. And we got the minority leader of the House of Representatives, Hakeem Jeffries, saying stuff like this. Play this for me, please.
This is an unprecedented moment featuring an unprecedented attack on black political representation and therefore it requires an unprecedented response.
That's right.
We are here standing in solidarity with the NAACP and its call for athletes to boycott institutions within the SEC that belong to states that have unleashed these Jim Crow-like racially oppressive tactics, which is unacceptable, unconscionable, and un-American. And we believe that the silence of these institutions is complicity.
That's right.
And we will not stand for it.
Oh my God. I have a confession to make. I'm very fond of Hakeem Jeffries. I really like him. I really do. He's welcome on the show anytime. And I believe that his soul is in the right place, and I don't believe that he's not making sense. It's just the exercise in futility that bothers me. When both sides have been exercising gerrymandering and redistricting, but this one side gets the better of you and has been getting the better of you in recent memory, you can't act like it's something you never engaged in. The whole purpose of redistricting and gerrymandering is to position yourselves as a partisan group to gain an advantage with voters over the other side. We all know this. You can't then sit up there and cry wolf when it works against you. The NAACP, what was the trigger for all of this? The trigger was a recent Supreme Court ruling limiting race-based districting under the Voting Rights Act framework. Civil rights groups argue GOP legislatures are now redrawing maps in ways that dilute black representation. But the Democrats have been guilty of it too. How do we know that? Look at the states of Illinois. Look at Maryland. Look at New York. Look at Massachusetts. Yes, the Republicans are guilty of it in Texas, Florida, North Carolina. You can say Indiana now. You can say soon to be of Virginia. You can say that. Wasn't Gavin Newsom bragging about it with the state of California recently? Did that happen? Didn't we hear people coming out on the Democratic side applauding what Gavin Newsom was doing with the redistricting? And I understand that it's usually not in the middle of a decade. You usually wait a decade before the politicians redraw the, or the parties redraw the maps and all of that stuff. But the bottom line is both engaged in this kind of action. And from an historical context, I am not blind. I understand. In black America, voting rights are tied closely to the history, Jim Crow laws, literacy tests, poll taxes, racial violence against voters, discriminatory district maps. I got it. So tell people to get out there and vote. When Kamala Harris is running for the presidency of the United States, even though Trump had gained traction with black voters, particularly younger black males, more people still should have went out and voted for Kamala. How about Jasmine Crockett when she was running for the Senate seat as a Democrat? And they had redrawn those maps in her district. But she was running for the Senate seat. If more blacks had come out to support her, wouldn't she be the Democratic nominee for the United States Senate representing the states of Texas and over 31 million people instead of that of Mr. James Tallarico? We could sit up there and prioritize that. We could prioritize making sure that the SCORES Act being pursued by Congress is something that's never passed. We could make sure that while doing so, we don't compromise the opportunities these young black men coming from these districts who are hellified players in the sport of basketball and football, which are the revenue generating sports, are not being asked to compromise potential generational wealth to help out politicians and civil rights organizations who should have been more on top of issues doing their job. So you're not asking these athletes to do it for you. Am I making sense? This is what I'm talking about. I'm not questioning the intent. I certainly understand that with maps being redrawn and packing and cracking being an issue when it comes to the gerrymandering issue, that it is something that undoubtedly will work to the detriment of black legislators and ultimately black voters, because most of, and let's keep it a buck here, most black politicians are Democrats. Not all of them, but most are on the Democratic side. And the reason this noise is being made is because it's Democrats who are worried about losing power. And I'm not saying that's not legitimate. I'm not saying I like it one bit. I'm not saying it's something I support, because I wish it didn't happen. I wish that the voters count and their votes count. And you make sure that no matter what happens, the dilution of votes emanating out of the black community, it doesn't exist. So as it pertains to the NAACP or anybody else, let me be very, very, very clear. The NAACP, the American Civil Liberties Union, arguing the decision week in Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, one of the main federal tools used to challenge racial discrimination in redistricting. I hear you. It should be probed. It should be investigated. And if that's the intent that is proven, it should be struck down. Got it. But to make that happen, the black athlete that grows up poor at a decisive economic disadvantage, who's positioned themselves as talent to go out there front and center and capitalize off of that monetarily for the first time in our history, nothing should get in the way of that. Nothing, including this issue involving black legislators, the NAACP, the American Civil Liberties Union, and beyond. Find another way. You know what it does for an elite athlete to play for Kirby Smart at Georgia? To play at Alabama? To play with Steve Sarkisian, with Arch Manning as your quarterback, making $5 million a year at least, by the way, if not more, with the NIL? You know what it's like for a black athlete to be at Texas or Texas A&M? That's oil money down there. If you had the potential to literally pocket millions of dollars playing a sport you love for a particular program, would you want somebody coming to you asking you to jeopardize all of that because of a mapping, a redistricting, and gerrymandering issue and foray and battle you participated in for decades, but you just happen to be losing right now? Would you want that? We know the answer. Leave them alone. Figure out another way. Slush fund with Trump, the war with Iran, the spending of over $30 billion of the American taxpayer money, an economy that's not great, inflation on the horizon, affordability being an issue. There's a boatload of issues this man, Donald Trump, has given to you on a silver platter, which is why he's bullying the GOP to march lockstep with him no matter what, because he knows he's in trouble. He even endorsed this guy, Ken Paxton, who at least by the reports was considered a corrupt individual, and that's who he supported over John Cornyn. You saw what he did in Indiana and Louisiana and what he went after GOP members like Representative Massey and the guy out of Louisiana and Bill Cassidy, he's reeling. He's handing it to you on a silver platter. If you know what you're doing, you can beat him. In the midterms, you can beat the GOP. And ultimately, he won't be running in 2028. So no matter who he endorses, the bottom line is his power will be diluted, because once he ain't the president anymore, he ain't the president anymore. Don't bring all of this into the fold. Ultimately, in people's ears, they'll hear the word race. And 60% of the American electorate, last time I checked, are independents. And what are they going to do? They're going to hear this noise, and they're going to be turned off, and they're going to say, uh-uh, we ain't falling for that again. And they're going to go in a different direction. And you will have done it to yourself because of an issue of race involving the very few. Because black folks only make up 13.6% of the population. So Lord knows how much of the electorate they actually make up of as elected officials. You bring this in, it might get a few folks riled up, but it might turn off the country. And you don't need to do that when you got Trump reeling, because he is reeling. Make no mistake. Choice is yours. 866-967-6887 is the number to call up. That's 866-96-POTUS. You're listening live. Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Back with your calls and more in a minute.